Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning to read at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We sang in our first hymn about the Lord, about God being a God who pardons. And we've sung in this hymn why God can pardon. So if on the one hand God pardons, there is always a right way in which he does so. And I suppose the meaning of the word pardon is simply to put away the punishment which should really be ours. It's a bit like mercy. A pardon, everything that is against us is put away, and we are free. Let's begin in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There is a time coming when men and women will look for God, but God will have turned his back on them. During the time of great tribulation, the wrath of God, the anger of God, will be poured upon this world. Men will cry out for death, and it will not come. And wicked men will stand before the great white throne of God. And they will hear the words, I never knew you. Bind them. Cast them into outer darkness. But during the time that we live, now, God may be found. And those who truly seek him will find him. Then says, call ye upon him while he is near. And there has been no time in the history of this world when God has been closer to men. Just a prayer away. And the reason for that is because of his grace, that is, his favor towards us. And God is able to look upon us with a sympathetic heart because of what the Lord Jesus Christ, his own Son, has done. The Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son, who came to earth nearly 2,000 years ago. And he came to die. He came to die on the cross. He was perfect. He had done no wrong. He had thought no wrong. He had dreamed no wrong. He was pure, holy, perfect. But God made him to be sin for us. God punished him on account of our sin. He died the death that we should have died. He took the punishment that we should have received from God, because he loves us. He loves us. That is, he always seeks what is good for us. And he wants us to be with him in heaven. So he came to this world because he loved you and me and all other men. But he had to come to deal with men's sin and the punishment against it. So the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. And he has ascended at the right hand of the Majesty on high, sat down there at God's right hand. And he says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So God has given a righteous basis, a right basis upon which he can pardon us from our sins, upon which he can forgive our sins. Because the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. So God's grace can come out to you and me, his mercy can come out to you and to me. But what do we have to do to make it count? What do we have to do to make it real for us? Well, in verse 7 we read, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. To forsake means to turn your back upon. We are all sinners in God's sight, therefore we are all wicked. We have to turn our back upon our old ways. We have to turn our back upon our old thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. That is, go the way that God shows us in his book, the Bible. There is one word which describes those three things. It is the word repentance, where we turn our back upon our old ways and our old thoughts, and we turn to go God's way. And if we read God's book, he points us straight to his way. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That is God's way. He doesn't say, live a completely holy life without sin, because he knows that it's impossible for an ordinary man to do that. There is only one way to be saved, and that is to put your hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, Lord Jesus Christ, take my hand and take me wherever you go. I want to go with you. What you've done, I would like to be like you. That's the difference we have to trust God to save us. If a man was drowning, he could not help himself, and another man came to him who was a strong swimmer, the strong swimmer would take that man back to the ship or back to the shore, where he would be safe. The drowning man could do nothing except trust the lifesaver. And that's what we have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to trust him because he is our lifesaver. And the life that he gives us as a result is eternal life, everlasting life. And we will go to heaven's shore, where we will be with him forevermore and with the Father. So let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. There is no judgment to those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. No judgment. No judgment for sin, for those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he has taken the judgment for them. The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is able to say, like the apostle, Christ, his own self, bear my sins in his own body on the tree. Therefore, there is no judgment left for me. When you've done that, when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God gives you his Holy Spirit to live within you, to give you the power to live a new life. Like the engine of your ship, maybe if you're a sailor, or the engine of your car. It moves the car, it moves the ship. So the power of the Spirit inside us moves us, gives us power to live lives which God likes us to live. We do fail. We do fail. Most miserably at times we fail. But the power of the Holy Spirit is in the believer to help him live a godly life. And if anybody wants to know if the Holy Spirit is within a person, he can tell by looking at their life. It's nothing to do with speaking in tongues this time. It's looking at their lives. What's the first thing you look for? One. Like the Holy Spirit, they will be living holy lives. That's the first thing. And there are things like love, meekness. Yes, these are parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Living lives without excess. Note those things. They are not what you might call greatly powerful things. When I was once preaching in the open air, a person came up to me and refused to take a leaflet speaking about the Lord Jesus, saying that he was a Christian and that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I immediately knew that he wasn't. And the reason I knew was, if a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't boast. He wouldn't boast. He would be meek. A meek man. He would not boast. in that way, ever. So do not be deceived when you are told things like you have to speak in tongues to have the Spirit of God. This is not so. Not so at all. The clearest sign is a person living close to the Lord. Are you living close to the Lord? Well, he will abundantly pardon once you put your trust in Christ. Once you take him at his word, when you believe it and take the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the story told, I think it was the Crimean War, of a man who had deserted his post during the Crimean War. It was certainly in the Victorian era. My history isn't very good. After the war, he'd not been found out. But he knew that if he was found, he would have to face execution for deserting his post. So he was living under the sentence of death, although he was in hiding. And one day, he picked up a newspaper and he read that Queen Victoria was prepared to pardon all deserters from that war. Now you can see his problem, can't you? Because the newspaper article told all deserters to report to the army office and write down their names, sign a document to show that they were deserters who had owned up and who were accepting the pardon. Well, he thought, if I go, they'll know I'm a deserter, and if this isn't true, they could take me and execute me. So he was looking at this newspaper saying, shall I believe it or not? Shall I act upon it or not? And in the end, he decided to act upon it. And he went to the nearest army office and he told them that he was a deserter. He told them his sin. And the army officer there gave him a document which he had to sign, which was his pardon, setting him free from the sentence of death. Now he had a new life. If he goes to God, if he tells God, he puts his trust as everlasting of death,